Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. Here are your hosts, Dennis and Dyer.
Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. I'm Dennis.
And as Tom said, I am the one, the only Dyer.
That's right. This is the podcast that is typically biweekly. We live in Indiana and things happen where we chronologically...
Check your local listings. There was a tournament that was the majority of March and some other things that happened.
There is a religion in Indiana that we do. I know we separation of church and state, but we do worship the game of basketball. And there's a significant tournament or tournaments, depending on who you follow, that games happen to be on Thursdays. We record on Thursdays. This is our mea culpa. But anyway, we chronological. this is the podcast that if you're a Tom Cruise fan, you want to listen to. Dyer, why is that? Well, I'll interrupt you there, Dyer. It's actually where these two guys named Dennis and Dyer, chronological order, you know, Tom Cruise's film history, his filmography, if you will, starting from Endless Love all the way through To Be Continued.
We're never going to end. He's never going to stop on. He's never going to stop acting.
No, he's not. And we love him for that. And that's why we decided, hey, let's have a podcast. So let's just call that first. This is honestly like a good transition. We got up to what was the movie we watched last? Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, yes.
And you also want to stick around to the very end of this where we rank them. We rank all the films. But this is like, that was a good, we'll call that season one. We're on season two.
We are on season two.
I think Mission Impossible is a clear delineation in his filmmaking approach.
So we've had action movies, right? Top Gun and Days of Thunder, right? Quote unquote action. Yes, you're right. This is, we've very clearly hit the demarc line of Tom Cruise vaulting himself into action star status with the Mission Impossible.
Yes, and this Mission Impossible came out in 1996.
Check your local listings. I was nine.
I was seven. Let's just continue to put our personal information out there. I live on 123 Mulberry Street.
And I live on 743 Evergreen Terrace.
It's right next to Drury Lane, and he does know personally the Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man?
Anyway, 1996 is a significant year because it marks the 30th year anniversary of Mission Impossible, the television show, starring the one, the only...
Peter Graves. You know, also, here's a little cruiserverse if we want to work this in. Who was Peter Graves? He was in a movie, a very funny movie, that had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in it. What movie was he in?
Airplane.
Say, Billy, have you ever seen a grown man naked before?
How does that connect? How is that cruiserverse?
Because Peter Graves was in Mission Impossible, the TV series, which then led into Mission Impossible, the movie with Tom Cruise.
But then how does Airplane factor... that's more of like 2 degrees of Tom Cruise.
It's in there. Shut up.
Airplane is not part of the TCU.
You don't know that.
Yeah, and we forgot. It's not just Tom Cruise. Dyer, for those of you, it's been a while. Remind folks what his full legal birth name is.
Thomas Mathpower Cruise the Fourth.
Mathpower. Yes. This film came out, like I said, 1996. Written by Steve Zaillian, Bruce Geller, David Cope. I don't know, K-O-E-P-P, Cope. How would you say that?
Kep.
Old Kepper. The old Kepper. And then directed by Brian De Palma. And you may be saying, that name sounds familiar. Why do I know that man? Dyer, why do they know that man? They know him from movies such as The Untouchables and Carrie.
Really? He did Carrie?
He did Carrie. Huh. In a movie called Untouchables was Mars. Good. Carlito's Way, everyone's probably heard of. No one's actually watched.
I've seen parts of it. Carlito's Way has Johnny Depp and Al Pacino, right?
Yeah, but Mission Impossible, I think undoubtedly what he's known for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's, I would say, an esteemed director. I mean, he was a thing.
Yeah.
Probably in the, you know, 70s to 90s.
I mean, I would say Mission Impossible got him these other movies.
Okay, Mission Impossible. Just to rattle off some cast here. We have Tom Cruise.
As we have Emilio. We have John Voight.
We have
Emilio Estevez.
Yes, Emilio Estevez.
Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames. I did not, I'll be honest, I had no recollection of him being in this film. And he obviously with Tom, has the rare claim that he's been in all of these. Yes.
Yeah.
I honestly did not know Ving Rhames went this far back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to the plot. We'll get to the plot. I've got something to say about the structure of this film.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's get to the plot.
Have you seen the knock list? Because I've been looking for that. Do we think Max has it? Or who's got the knock list?
Everybody's got the knock list. Nobody has the knock list. Yes.
What? No.
Yeah. But just for a quick synopsis... John Voight, Jim Phelps, in the movie, was sent to Prague.
Dad of Angelina Jolie.
For a mission to prevent the theft of classified material, a.k.a. the knock list. His wife, Claire, and his trusted partner, Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise, were members of Phelps' team. Unfortunately, something went horribly wrong and the mission failed.
Emilio Estevez dies.
We might have a double agent situation. Spoilers.
What?
Leaving Ethan Hunt the seemingly lone survivor. After he reported the failed mission, blah, 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 blah. Essentially, Tom Cruise is framed as the mole. They were it was a mission to catch a mole, but the mole was actually the one setting up the mission. What?
You know, Ethan had actually, his name's Michael, but he decided to go by Ethan in the movie.
Hmm. So, Michael, let's start off the fact. Did you feel like you were incredibly stupid trying to follow the plot?
100,000% yes.
I remember that as a kid and thought maybe I just am not old enough. No, I would say this is a terribly written film.
That's why I text you and I said this doesn't hold up. And you called me a liar and you said I was a terrible person.
It holds up because honestly, okay. Dyer... I would say half the Mission Impossible films that's the whole point, is the whole time you're going, what the hell is going on? I don't know what's going on.
Except for the second one. Like, that's pure 2000s action genre. No,
yeah, but that's directed by John Woo, and it's just like doves in slow motion. And Tom Cruise with moody long hair.
Yeah, that was his emo phase. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I watched this again. And
but it's really a simple plot once you know it. But during the whole movie, you're going, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You're like, am I a fucking retard? Did I lose half my brain cells watching this?
And like, I always love the opening scene of this film where they've got like
it's a cold open.
Yeah, I love the cold open. Well, they establish so many tropes. Like, this is obviously the primordial ooze of what we're still getting today.
Right.
God bless you, Tom Cruise. Xenu bless you. Does Xenu bless? What does Xenu do? Xenu bestow on you.
I don't know, but rumor is he might be on his way out of the Church of Scientology.
You think he was raised Catholic?
He was raised Catholic until his first wife converted him to Scientology.
Yeah, and Xenu gave him the gifts to make these films.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
Name a film he was in that was good before Xenu.
Days of Thunder.
Okay, you're right.
Top Gun.
Okay, maybe you're right. But he becomes an action star. He gets like superhuman strength to like jump over buildings.
He breaks his ankle in a move in a Mission Impossible and walks it off.
No, but this is one of my favorite Tom Cruise scenes ever in this film. Or ever occurs in this film. Carrie Gander, a guess of what that is.
Putting the explosive gum in the shark tank at the restaurant and running out.
Yes. God, I love that. As a kid, that was just that. And it's never as impressive as I remember as a kid. As a kid, it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And honestly, this movie for a kid, really slow at the beginning. Really
slow. Super slow.
But
super
honestly, slow. I had no recollection of the helicopter plane train chase.
See, that's all I remembered. That guy shitting and throwing up.
All I remembered as a kid was running from an exploding fish tank, which I want to go to that. Is that a real restaurant? Because we need to go.
Has to be. It's in Prague,
Or did Tom Cruise in the filming of this film ruin it forever? They didn't tell them, by the way, we're going to blow up all the fish.
How do you not remember the...
No, the repelling
from the ceiling.
No, that's what I was going to say. That and the repelling from the ceiling scene in the mouse. Because I remember being horrified, like, oh yeah, Tom Cruise would be
toast.
Dead.
Toast.
If that was toast. My job, yeah.
And I'd then be dead.
Okay,
yeah.
What I wanted to talk about was the trope of this film, that they kind of employ in all of these films now, and I didn't realize. I don't really remember it going back to this. Okay, go ahead.
There were white cuts in this movie, right? Like in between scene, like the white transition. I feel like there was.
Like, I don't recall that.
When the guys, you know, when the director, the one that like thinks that Ethan's the mole, who was like in the last Mission Impossible, they brought him back.
But he was the mole. That's the beauty of it. Like the director,
John
that
Voight
he
was
with...
the mole.
Well, no, but the director's in on it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I feel like...
Because he's in the helicopter. In the helicopter. Right?
No. No, that guy survives. The one that is at the beginning in the fish tank area.
Fish tank guy?
Yeah,
he survives. He's in the helicopter, I thought.
No, because the helicopter explodes.
Or does he just tell Tom, like, I'm sorry, you were right?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I may be fuzzy.
I think
on a couple
he gets
details.
Shot. He gets shot something... by John Voight. But anyway, what I was getting at, when he tells the guy that's supposed to be guarding the secret, super secret room that he keeps crapping himself and throwing up, he says, I want him and his possessions on a base in Antarctica by the end of the day. I feel like they did a wipe cut in between that and the next scene.
They could have. I just don't. That didn't stand out to me. But it could definitely have happened.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, back to the beginning.
My trope is a trope that I love, which is down on your luck. What do you do? You go get a ragtag team. Let's name some films that were this trope besides Mission Impossible films, because every Mission Impossible has the ragtag team of
Ocean's
Tom. Ocean's 11. Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
The Expendables. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mystery Men.
With the Waffler.
Yes.
That's Dane Cook.
Dane Cook. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I said it before you.
Yeah, whatever.
Listen, I know where you live.
There's other films we're not thinking of.
Yeah, we gave a lot those. Of them. Con Air.
Rocky IV. him and the guy that helps him craft whatever, you know, there's somebody that helped him craft all that Arctic training equipment.
Who would have thought that Carl Weathers would have died before OJ Simpson?
I mean, Carl Weathers was much older.
No, he was like 75.
Oh, I thought Carl Weathers was like 85.
No.
Oh. Okay, well.
But, you know, OJ had cancer, Carl didn't, so.
Yeah, but Carl still. Weathers. Fun fact, Carl Weathers, much better guy.
Without a doubt. without a doubt.
Yeah, no. Rest in peace, Carl
Predator.
Weathers.
There you go. There's another trope. Predator.
Predator. Yeah, no, that is.
Yeah, I mean,
Let's tie it back. It definitely is. Yeah, but anyway, it's fun trope. But Ving Rhames, what was his? He was basically just like.
He was the getaway driver, essentially.
He's the getaway driver, but he's also the, like,
Hypersecurity
guy?
5 more minutes.
He's like, I need 5 more minutes. God damn it, I need 5 more minutes.
Yeah, he's like the hack guy. He's like the
cybersecurity. It's the trope within the trope. It's the trope of the ragtag team plus the just I need 2 more minutes guy.
He's
the guy on the radio be like, God damn it, I need 5 more times.
Benji before Benji is Benji.
Yeah, Benji in the newer films takes this role. But yeah, it's a smaller ragtag team because you've got him, you got Voight's daughter, who you don't know, like Cammy or
His wife.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Because he's clearly way older.
He's clearly a lot older than she is.
Yeah, so you've got that, and then you've got, who was the other guy? What was his name, the actor?
Frenchie?
Yeah, Frenchie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
But he's somebody that I know from things.
Yeah, was he in Leon the Professional?
Maybe. Is it Jean Reno?
That sounds right.
I think it's Jean Reno, but I'm trying to remember why I know Jean. Yeah, that's him. What do I know him from? Yeah, he's Leon the Professional, the Pink Panther, Ronan, the Big Blue, but there's definitely something that I, like, I'm not going to find it. I'm not going to find it.
Yeah, we'll find
it's going to be a thing that, like, stands out to me and is not significant.
Ooh, Emmanuel Barrage.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He has been in a lot of stuff.
Flyboys? Yeah. That's not what I know him from, but I know Flyboys. Godzilla? He was in the 98 Godzilla film starring...
Matthew Broderick. I went and saw that in theaters.
I just watched the 2014 Godzilla. Not a bad
film. Pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay, well, we're the Big Blue. Maybe I'm not recognizing him from something else.
No, I think you know him from Mission Impossible and Leon the Professional.
That might be it.
Oh, he was in Couples Retreat. Are you thinking Couples Retreat?
No, I've never seen Couples Retreat.
Oh, okay. He was in The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, I've seen that. Maybe it's just like I said, it's probably one of those where
he's got one of those faces.
He's got one. Well, no, it's just one of those where like he's in a lot of movies that I've seen, but it's like I feel like it would have been something that stood out more than The Da Vinci Code because that's kind of a forgettable film.
Yeah, the book was much better.
Yeah, so I hear. Okay. Anyway,
he was in La Femme Nikita.
Cruise. Let's get back to Tom Cruise. Yes. Does he run? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. He runs. Is center tooth
present? Yes.
Yes.
Unibrow there. He is fully waxed and it's no longer a concern.
I'm pretty sure he had some sort of surgery. He
definitely had laser hair removal.
Oh, 100%. He might have had that part cut out of his head so it would never grow back.
Yeah. Did you know this was the last motion picture that was released on Betamax?
Really?
Yeah.
You know a funny story? You know why Betamax failed?
It was too expensive.
No. Porn decided to put their videos out on VHS, which killed Betamax.
Was it because it was cheaper? Why did the porn industry... hold on, side discussion.
Maybe.
Why did the porn industry choose...
VHS? You have 775 new viruses.
Sources say that VHS won over Betamax due to the greater availability of pornographic movies on the format. In the 1980s, founder of Vivid Entertainment said, "We pissed VHS harder... giggity. And in that sense, we did have something to do with VHS winning out." They don't say why, though. And that is according to a Wikipedia article.
Maybe VHS was like the fledgling up and coming, and they said, you know what? Hey, we're going to give this a shot. But yeah, essentially, the porn industry is what
Betamax was also controlled by Sony, whereas VHS was open. So aka price. There we go.
No, open source.
Okay, so we now know the answer.
Pornography
is cheap. Did you also know that they cast Ving Rhames because he was the opposite? They cast him as the hacker because it was the opposite of what hackers normally look like.
I can believe that. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell me how many times Tom Cruise fired a gun?
Twice.
None. It is the only one where he has no shootouts or gunfights. He does not fire a weapon in this entire film, which is why the Nintendo 64 Mission Impossible game sucks.
Yes, it, well, you can shoot.
I know. It. Yeah, in the game. But it's also not true to the movie, which is one of my biggest problems with the game, is it's just random.
I can never get to the level. I got to the level once where he's suspended from the ceiling, and that was it. They rented it back in the day.
Yeah. And the other thought I had, so when Tom is rappelling,
yeah,
getting into the CIA headquarters,
yeah,
and getting to, which that was always cool to me. That technology now, like all the security, would be like on someone's smartphone and like Bluetooth.
100%. To it. Oh yeah, yeah.
But it's still cool. It still holds up.
It was like
I just love the idea that I just love that they're trying to put in. What was the media he was copying it to? It was like a micro, one of those.
It was
mini
a floppy
DVDs.
Disk.
Was it a floppy disk?
Essentially.
Yeah, but it was like okay. But no,
that was
so
the
Tom
fledgling
Cruise,
start of multi-factor authentication.
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah. He had to pull out his pager and type in a code.
And do an eye print and biometrics and everything else. Yeah,
but the biometrics back then, you had to like get blood sampled. Yeah, they weren't
to,
quite
like,
there yet.
Literally burn your retina out to scan an eye scan.
Yeah. So did you notice how like Tom Cruise, when he was rappelling, like the physics of that scene don't make any sense? Like based on where he's harnessed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's harnessed
around
the waist.
Do you know how they made that work?
Magic.
Because according to like the director and when they filmed it, Tom Cruise had to put coins in his shoes to balance them out. So, because he kept smacking his head on the table.
He is a little tiny guy.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Yeah, but he's still a little tiny guy.
Oh, and by the way, let's say I've got perfect balance and dexterity. This perspiration, I would have been sweating like a whore in church.
Oh, absolutely.
the floor, not to mention the heat sensor. Like, oh, yeah.
I would have tripped that thing the minute that I got out of the vent.
Yeah, I remember I used to use this like deodorant stuff called I think it was called Stay Dry or Certain Dry.
Yeah.
That would like shrink your pores.
Yeah.
I would have had to like spend like 3 months preparing for that.
I would have had to bathe that stuff.
Yeah, just bathe in Certain Dry. Just lock in all the moisture. Which,
well, Dennis,
I wonder,
you weighed 180 going into this mission, now you're 205. 25 pounds of water weight, boss.
Yeah, that,
I've been able to sweat.
That scene is, I mean, it's one of the most iconic action scenes in movie history.
And of course, I believe the helicopter scene are probably the two most iconic scenes from Mission Impossible.
I don't remember the helicopter scene. I remember the mask reveal.
I remember that,
which what I did some research. That was a thing in the TV show too. All the masks.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, of course, I remember Emilio Estevez getting killed.
Yeah, on the elevator, he dies very gruesomely.
He does, and like
I don't think that's how elevators work.
No, I don't think so either. But like, talk about a cameo.
He gets impaled.
Like, he dies like a legit cameo.
He dies like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
He does, and like the cold open. That's right. That's before the cold open. I mean,
no,
that's
it's right after.
It's right after the cold open.
Okay. Yeah, because you get the like fake stage, like they're in an aircraft basically they're trying to get information like from they're in another mission where they're trying to get information.
Is that where
a Russian publicist?
The chick's
and they've
passed
got, like,
out on the bed. And, like,
yes, and they've
and
got
everything?
Like they got all this stuff staged. To get the guy to like tell them stuff.
Confess. Yeah.
To confess. And then they reveal like they're like actually on a stage set. Like that's just so cool. And
that
honestly,
cool.
I wish there's more of that. I wish there'd be
more of that. They did that in Fallout at the very end.
I've not
like
seen Fallout.
Yes, you
Wait,
have.
Is Fallout the most recent?
No, that's Dead Reckoning or something like that.
I haven't watched Dead Reckoning. I want to be a virgin to it for this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
They do that in Fallout. Yes,
Fallout's they the one do where he's like hanging from the plane. I think.
Yes, God, that scene delivers forever. That lives rent free in my head. Just the way, like the first time I saw the trailer, where I saw
behind the scenes, he's actually wearing a safety harness.
Yeah, he's strapped to the plane, but he's still strapped to a motherfucking plane.
A real plane.
This guy that's this billion-dollar actor is strapped to a goddamn plane.
Yeah, he's like, all right, just take off. Because, you know, they couldn't just, like, they had to do a full takeoff and they had to do a full landing, and he just had to hang there the entire time.
Do you think they test the strap out with somebody else first, just in case?
Yeah, they make the intern do it.
Like, seriously, that'd be like, I don't know. What would that be like? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, who would you put on Tom Cruise's level as a female actress? I'm trying to think of a female action star that's like as big.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. I don't know.
Anyway, let's get back to the plot.
Regardless, they strap him to a goddamn plane. And all started with Mission Impossible, the first one. The stunts in each film have just trumped and trumped. Although Mission Impossible 2 is way too much. It's like the Mission Impossible cartoon with all the CGI.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But that's a very sign of the 2000s.
Early we will 2000s. Get there when we cover that in 3 years. Get there.
But yeah, the plot: double agents.
Chaos. Yeah, I mean, essentially, right? They're trying to find a double agent because they're gonna release this what they call the knock list, which is basically a list of all the undercover agent identities in the field, and whoever gets that list, they feel. Is going to expose everyone and their cover is blown, and then they have no recourse to get those people out once their cover is blown. So pretty much this list gets into the wrong hands, all the agents in the field are dead, essentially.
Yes.
So they're trying to do that, and like, remember after the fish tank explosion and John Voight falls into the river and everyone else dies and his wife gets in the car or whoever gets in the car and it blows up. Tom goes back to the hotel and just starts emailing Book of Job Bible quotes.
Yes. Yeah. I was wanting to talk about that. The
righteous man does this and the righteous man, and you know,
and then, so he gets like obsessed. They go to Job@Job.com. Yes, he just starts typing it. He's like, oh, what must be job@job.com? And just starts emailing. Like, I feel like the implication was he just emailed every permutation he could think of.
Absolutely.
Job@job.com. Job@yahoo.com. Job@hotmail.net.
Right.
It was really dumb. It was clearly a time when people weren't quite like movie writers and producers weren't quite sure how the internet
works. Saw the animation of like the email going out too, which that was a very AOL thing back in the day.
But the more they showed it, the more cringe it was.
Oh, 100%, yeah. But that was cutting edge in the 90s.
Oh, for sure.
And like the laptop was as big as the desktop is now.
It was incredibly funny.
Max finally, a person named Max finally gets back to him, and they're like, "Yeah, hey, we'll meet here tomorrow. I've got the information that you need." And then basically, it's a, "Hey, here, I've got your information. You've got my information," and then, yeah.
Yeah, and they do that, and they get a copy of the disc, and he meets with the, like, power. They basically meet with Q, but evil Q.
Yes.
Would that be an apt comparison?
Yeah, I would believe
so. It's evil Q. It's somebody that's like some underworld crime lady that deals with information. It's
Max, yeah.
Yes, Max. And Max gives them, yeah. See what I mean about the plot?
Right.
It's really just a point to get to the next action sequence. But he gets the information from Max, right?
Yes.
Or he claims to, like, he then tells the CIA guy, I know, I met up with Max, who they had been trying to find.
Right.
Or the, not CIA, MIF.
Is the MIF? Mission Impossible Force. Yeah.
Yes, it's MIF.
IMF. IMF.
The MIF. IMF, not MIF. IMF.
Yeah, it's the Mission Impossible Mission Force is what it is.
Impossible Mission Force. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I think I have these details right. Do I have these details right?
You do.
And then it's basically just a matter of them getting a copy of the knock list. So it doesn't get into the wrong hands. And in conclusion, they prevent it from getting into the wrong hands after a sequence that involves a train and a helicopter and a terrible pilot that decides it's a good idea to fly into a tunnel with curves.
Yes, that was dumb.
They killed themselves. I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad for me either.
Because there was no... My whole problem with that scene is there's no urgency. I mean, there is because they're using, like, 1995, 1996 technology to, like... Wasn't the whole point is Max is trying to, like, auction the knock list off?
Yeah, essentially. And they're trying to get the list, like, downloaded on the computer before they get into the tunnel. But Ving's got the, like, a signal blocker there, essentially.
Yeah, it's... Yes. And
then they finally get into the... They get into the tunnel. She loses signal, right? The list doesn't go out. And then she gets arrested by, I think, the guy that accused Ethan of being the mole.
Yes. And John Voight gets shot in the back of the train for being bad.
He also gets blown up by the helicopter, I thought. No, you're right.
Tom Cruise gets shot as John Voight wearing the mask, but he's got a bulletproof vest. He pretended to be shot.
Yes.
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 It's very inconsequential.
It is very inconsequential.
Because the whole, like, yes, you kind of care about Tom Cruise, but at the point you're like, I don't care about John Voight. He's kind of an ass. He can die.
Yeah, why is John
Voight
in
this?
And
then
yeah.
You're like, oh, I should have cared because it was Tom that got shot. So it's kind of this like, really? Okay, I don't quite... It felt weird. It felt not weird, but just like not well thought out or just kind of like added drama when the drama had already kind of concluded. It fizzled there at the last bit.
Yeah. And then the movie just kind of ends.
Yeah.
It just pretty much ends.
It doesn't, we don't get like Tom Cruise. It's not like James Bond where you got him running off with John Voight's wife.
He gets on a plane to go back to the States and the stewardess comes around and she goes, a movie, sir? And he picks a movie.
The same way
just
it
like
started.
John Voight at the beginning. And he said, Ethan Hunt, you know, this is your mission. Choose it, you know, if you should choose to accept it. And then you kind of hear them. It's like this message of self-destruct.
So if you're ever on a plane and they ask you if you want to watch in-flight movie.
Or choose
if they ever ask you, if you say you don't know, what you say is, I don't know. Do you have any that you recommend?
And then they hand you the Mission Impossible
you the
briefing.
Disc, and that's how you become part of the Impossible Mission Force.
And then it starts smoking in the...
Yeah, and nobody raises any questions. Is the flight attendant part of the IMF? Like, I don't...
She has to be.
Or is the IMF just controlling every facet
Or she hands the movie off, and then they take her in the back of the galley and put two in the back of her skull.
Yeah, like I have a lot of questions, and that's the hokiness you're not supposed to question.
Well, they've in Ghost Protocol, they all got disavowed. They disbanded the IMF. So the IMF is not a thing anymore in the
better,
newer ones.
Better spy theme. The Peter Gunn theme, Mission Impossible, or James Bond?
Ooh.
Rank them. Mary, fuck, kill.
Marry the Bond theme. Fuck the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible and kill Peter Graves.
The Peter Gunn one?
Yeah. Yeah, the...
See, I marry Mission Impossible. And then you definitely plow. I mean, James Bond's all about plowing women, right?
So, yeah, but like, but let's be honest. The pause music for GoldenEye.
That's why you just want to ravage it like a beast.
That's true.
That's what I mean. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
you don't want to live with that. It's too wild.
Marry Top Gun, plow Bond, kill Top the Gun. Other.
Top Gun. Marry Top Gun.
No, I said Bond.
No, you said Top Gun. You'll listen to this. Bond. You'll listen to this. You'll listen to this and think, God, he was right. I mean, am I missing an obvious spy thriller franchise that has a theme?
Pink I Spy? Panther?
Pink Panther.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, you just have coffee with that one. You're not serious.
Yeah,
catching up with an old friend.
Yeah, you have coffee, you ask how the kids are.
You might have had a thing with them back in high school, but yeah. You both moved on, you're both happy. You're just chatting.
It's just
think about what could have been.
You're both in the same town, how's the kids, how's the wife?
But James Bond, man, you are just ravaging that in the back of a dinghy after you jumped out of a jet plane.
James Bond is the theme that you meet at your 20th high school reunion, and it looks just as good as it did in high school. You have one chain of cocktails at happy hour, and you go to town, and you never talk again.
In Mission Impossible, it's like a fine wine. You just are happily married to it.
Yeah.
It keeps getting better.
Sure, you have a disagreement here and there, and you might bicker,
but for every Mission Impossible 3, there's an MI2. That's not actually how I'll be honest. Mission Impossible 3 kind of falls flat. That's my last recollection. It does not hold up.
I forget what happened.
I mean, it does have the greatest running scene of all time.
That's the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
Yeah, does not hold up, Dyer. Really? I hate to tell you, does not hold up. It's the newer ones. It's like the first one that becomes like what the newer ones are, but it doesn't hold up. It doesn't hold up.
That's the one he breaks into the Vatican.
Yeah, no, but Dyer, it doesn't. There are scenes. There's still scenes, but the actual like point to point beat of the film, very paint by numbers and like. Oh, really? I thought this blew my mind when I first saw it.
Is that where he jumps into the giant, like, underwater tubing system and holds his breath for, like, 8 minutes?
No. That's 4.
Yes, it... Oh, is that 4? Okay. He actually held his breath for, like, 4 minutes, according to the... Because Tom does everything.
Because Thomas Mathbar Cruise is powered by Xenu and is a badass.
Aw, hail Xenu.
Gosh darn it. We don't have to keep explaining this, do we?
Why do we have to keep explaining this to you?
Listen to me, Dyer. I almost said something bad.
Listen to me.
Freaking man.
I knew you were going with that.
Hands on your hip. Give him a push. Next thing before you knew, you're doing the French mistake.
Voila! Voila. We'll take everyone except for the Irish.
Have you seen the movie Paws of Fury?
No.
Did you know
that Mel Brooks is in it?
Did you know that Mel Brooks is in that as a voice?
No.
Did you know it is a complete beat-for-beat retelling of Blazing Saddles, but done with kung fu and children's animation?
No.
Yes. There's even a farting bean scene, Dyer.
What about the Hitler scene in the
and I don't know about that part, but instead of a sheriff coming to town, it's a cat, and instead of it being black and whites, it's cats and dogs, and the dog is the sheriff or is the samurai of the village.
Do they say please excuse me while I whip this out?
Pretty much.
Oh,
they even set up a fake town.
No.
Yes,
Paws of Fury, Legend of Hank.
There's a great pie fight.
Oh, I gotta watch this now.
They even run it. No, I know. I just stumbled upon it. My children were watching it. And I'm like, wait a second. This is very familiar to me.
Michael Cera, Sam Jackson, Ricky Gervais, Mel Brooks, George Takei, Gabriel. Okay, yeah, I'm watching it.
Yeah, no, Dyer. Phenomenal. Mel Brooks is like the not like the equivalent of the governor. He's the same character.
Ah, okay.
It's obviously doesn't have as much adult humor. I don't think there's like I don't recall a scene that talks about 15. Oh, what's the sausage? What's the sausage?
Wiener schnitzels, right?
No, 15's my limit on. Oh my god!
Oh yeah,
my brain. Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, I remember this.
15 is my limit on Schnitzengruben.
Schnitzengruben, yes.
15's my limit on honey. 15 no, I cannot. My limit on Schnitzengruben. Yeah. Ah, film.
Yeah, I need to watch
it again. It's been way too long since I watched
it. Me too.
I'm due for a watching. All right. So this film, Mission Impossible, great. And
guys, rank my movies, please.
Okay. Let's do it.
We'll do it, Tom. We'll do it.
Don't
say so. Like I said at the top of the show, we rank all of these. We are on episode 21, I believe. Which would mean we've ranked 20. So right now, bottom of the barrel, Legend. Top of the barrel, Top Gun. In between, correct, a lot of other films. We have Legend, Endless Love. I'm going from worst to best. Endless Love, Outsiders, Taps, All the Right Moves, Losing It, The Color of Money, Born on the 4th of July, Interview with the Vampire. And then we get to what I believe is the delineation mark of good films. Cocktail, Far and Away, The Firm, Rain Man, Days of Thunder, Risky Business, and A Few Good Men. I'm going to say, so right now, just so we know, the top 10, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Born on the 4th of July is 10th. No question this is in the top 10.
Agreed, 100%.
Okay, and then we move up a couple spots. 9th is Interview with Vampire. 8 is Cocktail. Far and Away. Okay, I think it's better than all of those. Like, you can't even make an argument.
I agree.
I can maybe make an argument for Cocktail, but that third act. Yeesh. We say this every episode, but that third act just ruins the film.
Ooh, yeah.
So we're looking at top 7 right now. So after Far and Away, right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The sixth film is The Firm.
Yeah.
Rain Man is 5th. Days of Thunder is 4. Risky Business is 3. Few Good Men and Top Gun. Honestly, there's not a bad place to slot this. We're going to have lots of Mission Impossible films. So we don't need to like reference the like, is this film fun? Yes. Is the plot confusing?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you get the gist? Yeah. Is that why you're seeing this film? No. You're not seeing it for the plot. The action sequences aren't really that bombastic. Like, he doesn't do any crazy stunts. He doesn't fire a gun.
Right.
So right now, The Firm is really good.
The Firm is really good.
The Firm is 6. Rain Man is 5. I think this is ahead of Rain Man, but I'm open for debate.
No, I agree.
Is it above Days of Thunder at 4?
That's a hard one.
He doesn't have as much charisma in this. The problem with The Firm, the Firm is currently 7th or 6th. I mean, the problem with The Firm is it has a problem, and that is Tom Cruise plays a very unlikable character.
That is true.
He's a deadbeat. He's a deadbeat husband.
100% yes.
Kind of a douche. Days of Thunder is currently 4. It's not better than Top Gun.
No, absolutely not.
A Few Good Men is perfectly acted from top to bottom, and everybody, and it's amazing. Like, it's hard for me to find a flaw.
Right, I agree.
Then we got Risky Business and Days of Thunder. Rain Man's good, but once again, he kind of plays a douche.
Agreed.
Okay, so are we thinking top 3, 4, or 5?
I'm saying top 3.
Okay, so above Risky Business?
Oh, I forgot about Risky Business. Top 4.
Top 4? Because honestly, Days of Thunder is kind of a flimsy film. Like, it's kind of like a cardboard cutout of a film, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is fun. And he's just a machismo in that.
Yes. Okay. Well, then I think we're sold. This is the new number 4 between Risky Business and Days of Thunder, correct?
Correct.
Better than Days of Thunder, worse than Risky Business. Because Risky Business, I mean, cautionary tale. I say it every time. Okay, so, Risky Business. This is the new number 4. Mission Impossible. Next week, we've got a doozy for you, folks. We've got Jerry Maguire. Show Me the Money.
Oh, God, I love that movie so much.
Show Me the Money. A movie you haven't seen until this past year.
Until I found myself out of work for a little while, and then I watched like 17 times.
Yeah, you got out of your without a job depression by watching Tom Cruise.
That is correct.
Yes. So, new number 4, Mission Impossible. Next week, we'll see where we'll slot the one, the only, Jerry Maguire, critically acclaimed film, I believe.
You had me at hello. He got an Oscar nomination for it.
Did you know the human brain weighs 6.2 pounds or whatever he says?
Listen, I fell in love with that little kid at that point. So.
Yeah, but then he becomes Stuart Little's brother.
Oh, he doesn't.
He becomes Stuart Little's brother. Once you get, like, because he's at the age in this film where it's like cute child acting, then it becomes like kind of like really parents. Like
Jonathan Lipnicki is the actor's name.
Yes. What is he doing today? Has he done anything recently?
I think he retired from acting.
I mean,
I think he retired from acting.
Well, good for him. Good for him. He'll always be Stuart Little in my heart. Well, no, he'll be Stuart Little's brother. Voiced Stuart Little? Who is the voice of Stuart Little? I think you're right. I know you're right. You don't need to check it. I believe you.
Yeah.
All right. Jerry Maguire is next week's episode. This has been Cruising Through Cinema. Be a friend, tell a friend, write us in and review us, and leave us a message on the show. You can do that. Go to, if you're listening on Spotify, it's somewhere on there. I would give you a link, but you're not going to type it in. Right, Darren? Nah. They're not going to type it in. Who does that?
Nah.
When have you ever listened to a podcast and go, you know what? I'm going to type in that link they said. This has been Cruising Through Cinema, folks. Good day.